Hello, welcome to The Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm Jan McCarthy with Entrepreneurial Voice, and we are broadcasting from skidrowstudios.com, real radio on the internet, and we are here every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you want to call in and chat with us, you can do that too. The number is 1-800-893-9562, and we're here to talk about what it's like to be an entrepreneur, share some business tips, and hope you'll give us a call. Today, I'm so excited. I'm interviewing Elise, and let's see. Okay, I have to remember how to say your last name. Ballard.
Ballard.
Elise, yes. Ballard. And Elise is an actress. She's an independent filmmaker and producer, and she's also an author. And she's an entrepreneur.
So,
welcome, Elise.
Thank you so much. I'm excited
to have you here. So, what I wanted to ask you is, we don't typically associate actresses, directors, producers, filmmakers, and even sometimes authors as entrepreneurs, but they definitely are. When you started out, when you were a little girl, did you think about, this is what I want to do? Did you think, I'm going to grow up and be an author? Did you think, I'm going to grow up and be an actress? What were your thoughts? How did you get started? What's your journey?
You know, I unfortunately wasn't one of those people. I was much more of a dreamer and a floater, and never really knew what I wanted to do. I just sort of did what I liked at the time, and I loved school, but I didn't know I loved school, you know, but I would do well at it. But I was one of those ones that was undecided in college until they forced me to pick a major. And in my family, no one was a creative, really. Everyone was very business-oriented. So I didn't know that there was an option to have a career in the arts, really, you know? So I placed out of a bunch of hours. I went to the University of Texas. I grew up in Dallas, but my family's from New Orleans. But I grew up in Dallas, and I went to University of Texas. And placed out of all these hours, you can take these tests, you know, and the AP stuff. And so I just stayed undecided, but I took all these business classes. But I also took a lot of liberal arts stuff, and I got in this honors program. And so by my junior year, they forced me to pick something. So I picked marketing, but I always took liberal arts classes, and I went abroad and studied. And I highly recommend everyone study something in liberal arts in school, because you learn all that business stuff on the job. So my trajectory was very unplanned. It was very just, you know, I got out of school, I got a job in finance, actually, then in marketing, and then I was in New York City. And I lost my job, and I was so excited. I was like, are you mad? Are you upset? And when she told me, I was like the second assistant to this big marketing guru who was actually an author. So it's the first time I was really exposed to that and what was possible. And also New York City is so inspirational, and it's the best of the best there, you know? So when they said, are you mad? Are you upset? Because she had to lay us off. She didn't make as much money that year. And she was like, I'm like, are you firing me? Or are you laying me off? And she goes, I'm laying you off, but you mustn't tell anyone. So I was so excited. I was like, a big thing in my mind was like relief, you know. But I looked into everything I ever wanted to do in New York City. It was such a gift, because I got unemployment. I started working on these odd jobs under the table, and I started acting again. I'd always done it as a teenager and as a kid, and I would accidentally get into stuff. And I was a dancer, and I was a cheerleader in Texas. That's a big thing to do. And so that is the window that kept opening for me. And that's what I always say to people, is that I was looking at everything I wanted to do, and I was telling one of my best friends that I didn't know what I should do, what I should go for. Everything was so interesting. And he said, you know, you need to sit down. This is an exercise. And I tell people this exercise all the time. And sit down and just pretend it was you and God, if you believe in God, or the universe. You and the universe, and anything is possible. Nothing is impossible. And no one else is around, and you can do anything. And what would it be? And you really have to sit there and really be honest. And then you write it down. And when I wrote that down, it was like acting, be the creative. And I wanted to be the creative. I didn't want to be the agent or the producer at that time, or what I, or the PR person. I'd interviewed with all those kinds of industries. What I really wanted to do was be the creative. And so oddly, then you back into it. You find, well, how do I get in? I don't have an agent. I have no real experience. And then the first thing I did was like, okay, what's the first thing? Buy the magazine that tells you backstage at the time. You know, like, where are the auditions? Right. I asked a friend, the one actor I knew, about classes, and on and on and on. And that's what kept going. I believe you have to follow the flow in life. And so that's how I ended up acting. Within 6 months or something, I was making, you know, I was making money as a professional actress. It was so odd. And that's how I got into filmmaking, and now I'm writing this book and all that.
Well, I don't think it's odd necessarily,
yeah,
because that's really, first of all, I always recommend that as an entrepreneur, you have to take that action. And I love that you did that exercise. That's something that I recommend as well. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And I ask people to project like up to 5, maybe even 10 years, and tell me like a day in your life of exactly what you're doing. And there's no obstacles. There's no things that you have to overcome. Just pretend it is whatever it is that you can dream. And then I always say start from the end too. And that's a really great way to do it, because if you don't know where that end goal is, you don't know what you're shooting for.
Yeah.
You know, it's like throwing darts at a dartboard without a target.
Yeah. So, sometimes it's hard to figure out. You have to really be still. And I recommend writing it down.
Me too. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
something about that, isn't it? Pen to paper, not even typing it.
Yeah, I agree. Pen to paper, and something about the writing exercise, because you can't remember all of that in your head. And even though I think vision boards are great too, mm-hmm. they still don't tell the whole story.
Yeah.
So I love that you did that, and it helped zero in on what you wanted to do. And then for a lot of people, they start letting those doubts come in. Like, well, you can't do that. Well, you don't have any experience, or you don't have an agent. You don't have this, you don't have that. So I love that you persevered and pushed forward and said, okay. And you did your research. And that's sometimes what you have to do as well.
Well, and the other thing is, and I talk about this when I you know, my last book was called Epiphany, and now I'm talking about epiphanies, right? And like how you can cultivate them and why they happen and what are the patterns people have when they do them. And one of them, to your point, was taking action. I mean, nothing will change your life unless you're taking action. But another thing I talk about is when you take action, usually we have no idea what's going to happen next. You know, you take action towards that epiphany. And perhaps in this case, we have an epiphany about what it is we really want to do. What is our heart really longing to do? You know, mm-hmm. or we're finally getting honest, or we're just saying, well, that's what I want to do, but I feel like I can't do it. But you take action and then you see what happens. Just do one tiny little bitty thing. Pick up the phone and see if your favorite, whatever you want to do, company is hiring, or what is the HR person's name, or read an article about them, the tiniest things. And then serendipity will come into play. You know, it's like the universe will say, give you something else, like a sign that you can then take action on. And it's as if the universe or the life is saying to you, yes, this is right for you. Yes, keep going. And it's important to keep acting on that. A lot of times we have no idea where that first step will lead.
Right, right. Or even someone that you may meet that's going to help provide the key to getting you to that next step.
Exactly.
Like you said, you met someone who told you about the magazine or where to take the acting classes or that kind of thing. And so
And then like another miracle happened in that particular instant was that when I went to a class, I didn't ask her yet, and I went to one that I heard about or whatever, and then my grandfather passed away, and I wasn't able to go to that class. I had to go to his funeral, and I got back in town, and I told her I was going to go to this certain school in New York, like for commercial acting or something. She goes, don't go there. Go here to this school. And in that school, they had regular acting classes, and they made me audit, and I realized I was already advanced beyond their beginners, and somehow I bullshitted my way into the advanced class without even a headshot or any professional act. But my high school experience had given me such a strong background and that's where so much more opened up. So again, you know, the world will conspire to support you if it's the right place to go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll stop you if it's not. Interestingly, I've noticed. So.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. So what that moment of inspiration and clarity, you got that just simply from writing and following kind of your instinct or just letting your daydreams take over of saying, what if I could do anything, what would it be and what would bring me joy and happiness?
Mm-hmm. You mean in that particular exercise?
Yeah,
when I started the acting trajectory, which has then led me into the career of filmmaking and now writing, that was what I did. Literally. I obviously wanted to, but I'd been interviewing with everyone. I'd looked into everything I was ever interested in doing. I think that's important too. You know,
yeah.
I think that so many things are awesome and interesting, you know, and if you have talents and towards a lot of different things. Sometimes it makes it harder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if you know you can only, like you're the greatest painter, but you're not really good at business at all or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's easier, I think. But I liked a lot of different stuff. Like I had a finance, you know, background. So I looked into Wall Street. I looked into fashion. I looked into production, for working for a big producer. Agents, all of that stuff that was interesting to me. And again, but the acting was, I was starting to look at, you know, maybe I should take it this acting. Because a lot of people used to say to me, you know, you should be in commercials, you know? And I always loved it. I always had fun. I just never took it seriously.
Yeah.
So I was exploring, looking at that as a career, just looking at that from that perspective. And that's where, excuse me, life led me. And so I believe in, yes, I think that, and I've done that periodically. I tell people to do it periodically, even if you think, you know, sometimes we end up at stop roads in life and sometimes it's time, you know, for a new chapter.
Well, there's no dead end either. So, you know, so if you said, okay, I'm going to try acting. I mean, it's not like that's the end of the world if it didn't work out. But having had a more traditional, quote, kind of safe job, and then to go from that into acting, what were the thoughts and comments from friends and family? Were there naysayers? Because I think that's always really good. You know, we get those negative comments sometimes, but how do you persevere through those? So what did you hear, and what gave you the momentum to say, ignore them, ignore your critics, and move forward?
Well, and with the acting, I was young. I mean, I was like in my early 20s. And so, of course, my family was like, what? You know, I was like, graduated with a really high GPA. And I'm like,
in finance.
In business. And I had this good job and all that. So, and so that was difficult. But I ended up, from that acting class, this girl recruited me to go work at Equinox. Equinox was like the big sports thing at the time. And they wanted me to come work in sales. And I said, no, thanks. I couldn't figure out how I could make enough money. It was straight commission. And people would just walk in. And at the time, they were the only high-end gym, you know, around. And so I said, no, thanks. And they called me back and they were like, please come work for us. You can quit if you don't like it. And you can go back to your, you know, freelance and unemployment. And so we just really, and I was like, okay. And from doing that, I met other artists who I'd never hung around other artists. And they encouraged me. I met my best friend who was a singer and had always acted and sung. And I created my own little family and my own little support group. And I was so excited about it. And again, I had beginner's luck. Like I had a lot of, I fell in with a great teachers and with great other people in my classes that introduced me to other teachers and then agents. And I always take action. When someone introduces me to somebody or they say, I think you should meet someone, I do. I'm good about that. The one thing I'm not good about
is, I can tell because from reading your book and just the way you and I met as well.
Yeah. I think there are four things when I talk about having an epiphany. It's listening and paying attention, having belief and trust, taking action, and serendipity, as I've a little bit touched on. And the one thing I would say, everyone's got like one thing they lack in a little bit, like it's their heart, their weakest area that they're, you know, the least strong in. And mine is in belief and trust. But I always find people who believe in me more than I believe in myself, thank goodness. And so they are the ones that keep me going. And when I did the book, I'd never written a book either. And some people were like, do you know how hard it is to get a book deal and you've never written anything? And so I think what keeps me going, to your point, is other people. You find a support group, right? You find those people, whether accidentally, sometimes accidentally, like in the very beginning, and sometimes I seek them out to find a support group. I always believe in getting in classes of what you love doing and find that good teacher for you. And you may take a while to find the right teacher. Not every teacher is the right one for each person.
Right.
And I think that is very important because you find like-minded people who, you know, and you are developing your gifts and talents or you're finding out that's not what you want to do. But you have a mentor I always say I dedicated my book to my teachers because my teachers along the way, and sometimes that means people I've met along the way that have taught me great lessons, even sometimes, you know, painful lessons, but teachers, the teachers along the way of my life path who have seen me when other people have not. And sometimes teachers are the ones that will really see. They're trained to do that, and that's their gift, you know?
Right.
So I recommend classes, groups, like your mastermind group, you know, those kinds of things, and finding your friends to support you, and books, you know, books that support that, and, you know, those are the things. And if it keeps calling you, you must explore it. You must.
You have to answer the call.
You have to.
Absolutely.
It's your gifts and talents calling to you. Whether it's a career or not, maybe no.
Right.
But it will have some kind of lesson or some kind of thing you need on your life or other people need.
Yeah. I agree. Well, speaking of calling, if you'd like to call in, any of our listeners, we'd love to hear from you. You can speak to me or Elise, and the number is 1-800-893-9562. So we'd love to hear from you. So what I love that you mentioned is finding that support group and other like-minded people. And in the acting business, and even in the as an entrepreneur, often we tend to close up. We're afraid to share ideas. We're afraid to let other people know about these resources that we have. And so I love that you talked about the importance of that, because we are each our own unique individual and we each have our own secret sauce. And there's always going to be competition out there. There are other actresses that are great as well. And when you start, not you shouldn't be aware of your competition, but you should also know what makes you special, what makes your product, your service, your role as an actor, your role as a author, in business, knowing what it is that makes you special and helps you to stand out.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So were you afraid when you started out in acting, saying, okay, I'm going to bring these other like-minded people into my circle? Were there fears that, oh, well, they might get that role or I might, you know, tip my hat and let them know what my secret thing is that helps me get the audition or get the job?
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, I never thought along those lines, like, what's special about me? You know, that is something everyone should figure out, which I did not. I think that my enthusiasm and my love for the craft, my love for it, for acting, is what was contagious, I guess, you know? And I love, and I still do, I love it. I love that craft and what happens when you get to act. I don't know, you can connect on such a real level, you know? And it's important to stay in love with that because the business side of it can be so heartbreaking,
right,
you know, and difficult. As far as figuring out what's special about you, has always been harder for me, you know, I think you just have to stand in the love of what you're doing and stay in that enthusiasm and that love and figure out how to keep that inspiration going, no matter what anyone else thinks, no matter what else happens. And, you know, sometimes you create your own work, you know, you go after. I think also in this day and age, there are so many different venues to go down that you have to start getting specific about who you want to work with, what you want to do. If you can get very clear with intention,
mm-hmm.
It seems to help, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's top five, I was just telling this guy, I was just shooting some webisodes and of interviewing people about their epiphanies, and mainly entrepreneurs, actually. And what she was saying, you know, I think one thing too is to make sure, to keep me going at least, and in her case as well, you go ahead and you start sharing your idea. In her case, she made this thing called the Betsy bra, where it's a bra that's built into sleeves, so you can wear it under, you know, sleeveless stuff, and it looks really good and cool. And she's a costume designer. And in my case, I started, you know, telling people, well, I think I want to act. And they go, I think you would be great. You know, or you find out other people's reaction to what you're doing. If you get no positive response at all from anyone, you know, that's a little bit. But if you know what I'm saying? You kind of feel the water and use that. That will keep fueling you to move forward in the direction of what the people are saying that are enthused by your idea, enthused by your work, who hire you as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, and that always kept me going too. Maybe, well, I wouldn't get 10 auditions, but I'd get one that, you know, they loved me, and it was a great experience. So,
well, it's great. I think not that you need to give away everything, and if you have something specific that needs protecting, then obviously, you know, go ahead and get it patented or copyrighted or something along those lines. But on the other hand, the best kept secret is the best kept secret. And yeah, if you don't open up those doors to share, and you get so much feedback, or just like you were talking, that someone might give you this resource to go here or go there or do this or do that, then you're really just trying to, you're an island, and it's much, much more difficult. So being able to find the groups, share your resources, share your, give support, help each other, that can only help you to better your product or your service.
Yeah, and if you're not comfortable sharing it, don't share it with just anybody, especially if it's a product or whatever, or right, even a movie idea. But you find the trusted people, right, you know, and there's NDAs and stuff like that people can sign if you don't feel right, like you have that. But
and for people who don't know what that is, an NDA, it's a non-disclosure agreement, which allows you to share an idea without having someone, it's kind of claiming your right.
Yeah, I mean,
to it and protecting you in some form, showing that you did already have that idea. That, so yeah, I agree.
They're less likely to rip you off. They still might do it, but
exactly. But the truth is that especially like even writing a book or coming to market with a product like your friend with the bra that's sewn inside the top. It's really hard to execute. And when you think about all the work that you've put in, I mean, most people might think, oh, that's a really cool idea. Wish I'd thought of that and want to do it. But for the most part, most people are really more interested in their own thing. And it's really hard for them to just steal your idea and totally go out and execute it, or yeah, go out and execute it the way you're going to.
Yeah.
You know?
And having the enthusiasm for it. And also, I always have this thing that there's a river of inspiration, right? And when the story drops down in you, or the project drops down in you, or the invention drops down in you, or whatever that is, that was yours, right? And that it's your job to then get it in a situation or in a format that other people can understand and then help you bring to the world. Yeah. If you do not do that, if you don't take action and try to get it birthed, then if the world needs it, someone else will do it.
Yeah.
So I always remind people, like, you know, and for myself, sometimes I have a story idea and I start developing, like, sometimes it's really hard to birth these things, you know, but, you know, it depends on how much you want to, like, does the world need it? Because if it does, someone else will do it if you don't do it.
No, that's absolutely true. Yeah. I believe that for sure. I love the visual that you just gave, the river of inspiration and something dropping down.
Don't you feel like that sometimes when you get an idea, it just drops down in you? You know, it didn't come from you, you know?
Kind of like an epiphany, right?
Yes, exactly.
Who inspires you?
Who inspires me? So many people. You know, it's really interesting. I had an epiphany that had me leave a marriage that I hadn't been working for forever. And I was a filmmaker, this guerrilla filmmaker. I do all these little documentary type things. And so I was so amazed that one instant had so drastically changed my life. And actually, the epiphany came from me acting. So it's all like interwoven, right? Like when you're on a path, and like to your point, anything we do doesn't end. It just feeds into the next chapter. And who knows, you could circle back. You know, it's all one thing. So I was so amazed that this one instant had so drastically finally changed my life in a quick amount of time. Within 2 months, my life was totally different. That I started asking people if they ever had these moments. And so I filmed a few of them because I started figuring out how interesting they were. And the people were, they not only were people entertaining, you know, which any film project has to be entertaining, but entertaining and interesting, like their ego dropped away and you would find out these amazing stories about people. There was no way you would have ever found that. They would have never, my best friends told me stories I couldn't believe, miracles that had happened to them that they'd never talked about. And so that was so interesting to me. But so I started being inspired and changed by what they told me, though. That was what was so interesting to me, that I could utilize what everyone was sharing with me. So I started, all of these people that are in my book that I talked to, I just, like I said, did this little series of webisodes where I interviewed Anthony Mindel, one of the top acting coaches here. Betsy was at a party I was at, so we turned the camera on her. I interviewed this woman that did Show the Love, who actually, this bracelet that I'm wearing today, I'm put up the camera, is all of her jewelry. It's called Show the Love, and goes to nonprofit, and it all has a message to it. And one of them is, what would you do if you could not fail? This is the bracelet I am wearing. But so all of those people inspire me. And I've been, as a writer, I'd never been a writer before. And I've been working alone. And I think I was telling you this, and I've just finished a novel that needs a rewrite. And for me, I come from acting. I come from a big family. I come from filmmaking, which is collaborative. And writing is fairly solitary. Even if I was interviewing people, then I have to sit there and write them. And now I wrote a novel. And I just realized that I've got to be in communion and collaboration with people on a much more consistent basis. I love writing, but I've got to figure out balance now.
Yeah.
And so I would say I realized a mini epiphany is that people in general inspire me and energize me. I'm just one of those people, you know? Almost anyone you talk to, especially if you want to ask them this question, what has been your greatest epiphany in life, like I have, and I'm encouraging people to do it, everyone has got this special thing that we all have this wisdom, you know? I think on a bigger picture recently, I always am pulling, you know, so the people I've interviewed have inspired me, Tony and Jen Pleasance and this other girl, Betsy Hyman. But from the book, I was recently thinking about this guy, Alexis Minko, who was like, I don't know if this is an epiphany, but and took me to lunch. He took me to lunch. And he had tried to commit suicide when his best friend died and some other things had happened. And he woke up and realized, you know, that he had a second lease on life. And his epiphany was, to be blessed, be generous. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. That's really been something that's inspired me, to be blessed, be generous. And he goes, and I don't mean with money, but with a handshake or really looking in someone's eyes or really, you know, smiling at someone or doing what you can to help. And we all go through these patches, but sometimes I felt like I was running into a lot of roadblocks and not helpful people or, you know, everyone wanted money for whatever it was that I was. And I realized I could be generous. You know, it was helping me and then things have shifted. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense. So he's inspired me. And then I read an article recently, I think it's in Marie Claire, of Julia Roberts. And this is good for entrepreneurs. Julia Roberts said, I always had this thing. She goes, I think one of the reasons I've enjoyed my career, and to your point too, if we're talking about acting, she said, even when I had needed jobs where I had to get it to eat and pay the bills, she said, I always had this faith. I always knew it will come, it will surface. It will come, it will surface. And whatever was that, when I was ready for whatever that was and had the ability and the understanding and the experience to do whatever role, even if I wanted a role really bad and someone else got it, you know, it would come. And she said it always has. And I think there is something about, I started doing that mantra, it will surface, it will come. So those are a couple of specific things that have inspired me in the last 2 weeks. I'm constantly having to look for inspiration. I don't know about you. But yeah.
No, I love that. And I really liked it kind of, when you were saying, well, recently, who's inspired me? I guess I haven't asked myself that particular question, but there are so many people, you know, pinpointed it down. And yet I get inspired, I agree, you know, every day. And I didn't really think about that. So I love that that was your answer.
Yeah, that people, you don't, I realized because I've been a little bit isolated in my life that people in general, and it gets me to write projects and I get writer's block when I'm not involved with people a lot.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but I talk to other writers, and this is a thing. Not all writers, but a lot of writers were inspired by people, which makes us want to write. But then you have to go be alone if you really want to write. So it's just this weird catch-22 that you have to figure out. Yeah.
Well, you have to have time to process, but you also have to have time to do it. And I think there is a fine balance between that. If you're just always busy, you don't really have time to reflect on that or even maybe get inspiration from it. And if you're solitude all the time, then that's hard too, to constantly stay inspired and motivated. So that's another question that I wanted to ask you, because as an entrepreneur, whether you're often isolated. You feel like you're doing it all alone. You're wearing all the hats. You're doing everything. So how do you stay motivated? Do you have a set time that you get up and write every day? Do you have a schedule? I mean, or do you just, I've got to go write, and you go sit down and write? How do you do it?
Well, a new year is coming, and I'm going to start doing that. I would say I'm a girl that needs balance, you know. I go full force, like, you know, and also I haven't really had plans. Like, I'll get enthusiastic about something, and then I'll get it done, and I have no idea to do it. Like, I got a book deal with Random House. I did this book, and I didn't realize the marketing that goes into this and the platform and all that good stuff that goes into it. And been a little bit more of an artistic thing, like jump in and then it will work out. So this coming year, actually, I'm going to try to get more organized and get more of a plan in place. I do think that's important, that you kind of, I'm not saying be stuck to that plan. I think we have to be fluid, and creativity comes from not being rigid, for sure, in my opinion. But it's good to have a plan, and it's good if you can structure your day, especially as a writer. You know, I try to be quiet in the morning and do sort of like inspirational or I'm not good at meditating either, but I try to do that in the morning and then deal with emails and all of that, social media. I'm a more of a night person. So I late afternoon get the exercise and all that stuff and then do my writing in the late afternoon to evening. But in order to have balance for a social life, I'm going to start restructuring that, you know. But I think that it's important to, you know, and sometimes as a writer, my situation is that I don't know how these people get in the flow and then walk away from it, especially if it's fiction. Even though I'm interviewing people and I'm working with it, then I have to figure out, it's like being a journalist, you've got to come, you do all your research and interviews, and then you have to write the piece. And so when I'm thinking about it, I don't really like to be distracted by other stuff unless it's a walk or, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I like to, sometimes I will stay the course for weeks, you know, just writing and writing. So I think everyone's process creatively is different, especially when it comes to writing. When it comes to, you know, structuring your day for the marketing and the, you know, reaching out to people and speaking and all of that, you know, I like to do that in the beginning of the day, you know. But I should be more structured. I'm not good about, you know, talking to people about how to do that.
Well, I think knowing what works best for you. That's really what it boils down to.
Well, and I'll say, flying by the seat of your pants like I have is like, it's worked. But but I think it's caused me to be less, I want to change that, actually. I'm going to look into changing that and making more of a plan. And be more structured. I think that it's, especially if you want to write books nowadays, it's a whole, you guys, that's a whole other, we'll have another conversation on that. Yeah, because I want people to realize, you know, what that entails now. It's a whole business. It's like you're running a complete business for a book. So you got to have, it's an interest, at least for nonfiction.
Yeah. But I think unless you have a physical business where you need to go in at a certain time each day and your customers are waiting for you to open the doors, so many businesses today are online. You can work in your pajamas. Nobody ever knows. And so there is something to be said of how do you motivate yourself to get up and do the work when someone's not waiting there for you to open the door. And
do some entrepreneurs have a problem with that? Aren't most people like so enthusiastic and excited about what they're doing that they're working all day long? Or just
Yes, they do.
I mean,
and not because they don't absolutely love what they do, but they get distracted. And then they also, there's the, I'm not going to say the ugly side of the business, but there's the parts that you don't want to do. So maybe it's the accounting, maybe, and the billing, or maybe it's the more creative thing that you don't feel so comfortable with. You know, whatever it is, it's hard when you're wearing all of those hats and you still have to do it.
I think it's so interesting that you call your groups mastermind, because I read this book, Outwitting the Devil. Is that where you got the term mastermind?
No, mastermind has been around.
From Think and Grow Rich.
I think so. I was going to say, I think Napoleon Hill.
Well, and he did Outwitting the Devil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Outwitting the Devil came out in 11, but it was the follow-up to it. It was written in the 30s, but his wife wouldn't let it get published because it was too controversial at the time.
Interesting.
So it's all about the number one thing he talks about primarily in that book is how important it is to have a mastermind, meaning at least one other person involved with you holding that vision. It can be a spouse, it can be a sibling, it can be a parent, or it could be another employee or a partner. And I completely concur with that because I've done both. You know, all I had was one agent that believed in the book with me, and I told her I needed X amount of bucks. I could not do it for a cent less because I filmed a lot of my interviews and I did this whole website, this whole community for the book. And it was going to cost a certain amount of money. And also, I slammed the book within 6 months. I had to turn it in. So there was no way for me to work and do the book. Like, I had to do it full time. So I had to get six figures for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and she's the only other person. And we knew, and we made it happen. And I remember my friend Joel and I did these videos for Dr. Oz. And we first did his. And it just took two people with the same exact vision. And you can make things happen. But I've also gone it alone. And what happens is that what you're talking about, you get isolated, you run out of energy.
I was going to say, those doubts start to come up. What am I doing? You don't have anyone
to bounce. Your batteries run low.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think it's important to have the vision held, the intention. This thing about intention is real.
Yeah.
You know, manifestation with intention is real. And to have the power of at least one other person. You know, if you can enlist that person in your, whoever that person is in your life to really, you know, be there. Again, even if it's just a spouse and they're not involved in the day to day, but that they know what's going on and they do other things to help support and they're completely in the loop, understanding it.
Yeah.
And I've made the mistake at points in my life of not doing that. And I just learned that this can never happen again.
Yeah. Well, no, it is. So yes, entrepreneurs do get up against the wall and they have obstacles that come and challenges and that can kind of knock you down. And so not only having that support of that cheerleader, I call it a champion, having a champion and accountability partner in some way, like you said, whether it's a friend, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a business partner or whatever, somebody who's going to help keep you in check.
Or if it's your agent or manager, just make sure they're on the exact same page as you.
Yeah. Believe in you.
Yeah.
Believe in you. But you also, to add to what you were saying, I think another important component of that is to have your why. Know your why. Why are you doing this? Why is this so important for you to do that?
Because I totally agree.
That's what's going to propel you forward and keep you going, even when you get knocked down, even when you get tired, when your batteries die. You need to be able to go and get recharged. So no matter how much you love what you're doing, we all get tired
from time to time.
Yeah. And we have to put some systems in place that are going to help motivate us, refresh us, and re-energize us and keep us going when the going gets tough. So I'm not sure I'm not sure if you really answered the question in terms of what motivates you because there's just sheer inertia with you, but it sounds like you always seem to know what you need to do to keep going with that, to stay motivated.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess when it's only resting on my shoulders, I have to, you know, keep going. I don't know. I mean, what motivates me is that nothing will get done unless I do it. And I love what I do and I love talking about what I do and I love interviewing people and I love, you know, and it's interesting because when you talk about the why do you do it? You know, actually, okay, so sometimes I will be like, I just cannot do this. I can't keep doing this or whatever. And then I'll get an email from someone who's read my book and it said it's changed their life or kept them going or, you know, and I'll go like, okay, you know, or suddenly someone will come who's watched a video, or they'll, I mean, I have this little film called Lord of the Weens. It's still getting sold. Now someone wants to distribute it. You know, it's been out since 2005, but it's about families and about Lord of the Weens. It makes people laugh, and it raises up and puts awareness to this nonprofit, the Lions Club. So, you know, but to the why, and I interviewed this girl, I was saying about this, her company called Show the Love, and her epiphany was that if you can find what you love and brings you joy, and where it can serve, and help in bigger ways, that is where magic happens. That was her thing. And I thought about that, and she's right. And I also know from interviewing hundreds of people about their greatest epiphanies.
You've interviewed so many people from maybe a person that no one's ever
heard of to
some of the greatest.
Yeah, Desmond Tutu and Maya Angelou and Clive Davis and Barry Manilow and the most successful people in terms of worldly prestige and business success, so to speak, that are in the book. They all knew exactly what their greatest epiphany in life was and would always use it as a tool, as a story that inspires them and motivates them. So that's another thing, you know?
Yeah.
And they also, what I believe now, I didn't know this. We all hear that we have gifts and talents, right? We all heard that. I've heard that. We all have a purpose here or whatever. I wasn't sure I really believed that. And then I was like, is there any proof for that really? And then I've done all these hundreds of interviews, like you said, with everyday people that we all don't know necessarily to these wildly famous people, Dr. Oz and Deepak Chopra and those kinds of people. And all of them are fulfilled by life. I think that's what success is. And what happens is when they get hooked into their gifts and talents, which is what is bothering you, what's nagging you, what's calling you. And, you know, if you put down like, oh, I can't do that. And it's very important to follow that. Like we said, even if you go into class or get books on it or just explore it at least, because it's not arbitrary. Because when every person I talked to that followed that, that took action on it, that hooked into it and developed their gifts and talents, they were led to careers that have been very successful. It energizes them. They're fulfilled by life. And not that bad things don't happen and not that they don't have challenges, but for the most part. And then their personal lives are fulfilling. And then they reach out to the world in bigger ways. And if you look around at your own life, when you're doing things that your gifts and talents are being utilized and you're fulfilled, you will accidentally serve people or the world or what you accidentally are helping. It's the way the system seems to be built.
Yeah.
So the why, you need to sometimes stop and look, you know, are you loving this? Is this what you're good at? Are you getting better at it? You know, how is that? Not necessarily if the world, but is it serving in some way? You know, because you will find that it does. And for some reason it's not, then, and you're not happy. Yeah, take a look at that.
Definitely.
Life is too short to even do that.
Absolutely.
To do stuff that doesn't motivate you, that you're not enjoying and that's not really helping in any way.
We're so lucky, aren't we? God, I could keep talking to you all day. So what is your greatest strength?
My greatest strength, I would say, is this ability to take action even when I have no energy.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
I will get stuff done and I won't even realize it. And I've learned how, actually from Epiphany, learning self-compassion, when I'm beating myself up for like not being successful in certain things I wanted to be or getting certain things done or I didn't, you know, and then I'll be like, wait a minute, you did this and that, because it's about talking to yourself like your own best friend. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned how to do that, like, wait, you did this. So I would say taking action and being able to even get stuff done no matter what is something I'm strong at. And also, I think that my interpersonal skills are really strong. Like, I really can, you know, see people or connect with people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll feel like I'm not, and other people will mirror that back to me. So I'm starting to learn that that's a strength of mine, of being able to really, I think that's why I'm a good interviewer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you have it too, where you can just talk to people and really see them and connect with them get where people are coming from faster, you know.
Yeah. Well, you are a great listener and just reading all of the stories. So what I am just so fascinated by, and I hope people will take inspiration from, you're very inspiring, and that they'll take inspiration from the fact that you had an idea that you know, this is what I want to do, not spend the rest of my life, because like you said, it's short, not spend the rest of my life doing a job that doesn't fulfill me, doesn't serve me, and really I'm not even able to contribute and in a bigger kind of way. And so you took a path that was probably one of the hardest paths that you could have picked, and said, okay, I'm going to go out and do that. And you did it, and you were successful at it. And then you went on to be a filmmaker and a producer. Again, not something that's easy, and maybe starting out in acting led the way for you to get into that. But then just thinking, oh, I've got to tell this story. This epiphany was so amazing for me to go through that I'm curious about others, and now I've got to tell the story, because your book has the ability to change one's life. I have loved reading your book. I really, really mean that. I'm not just trying to say, oh, your book is great. I love stuff like this, and I love reading it, and it is very, very inspiring. So to be able to do something that can go out and really contribute in a greater way is amazing. But more importantly, like you said, I'm not an author. I didn't know how to write a book. And yet you wrote a book, you scored a book agent, you did all the right things, you know. But it does take that one, it takes moving forward, regardless of the roadblocks. I mean, it's not like you just checked off everything and it was just easy peasy, I'm sure.
Right. Well, thank you so much
I'm
for
sure
your kind words.
That there were a lot of things to overcome, and many people would have said, this is too hard, or, okay, well, I guess I don't really know how to do this, or, oh my gosh, they want me to have this ready in 6 months. I can't do that. No, you really, I love that you backed into it. You said, this is what I need to do to make it happen. This is how much I have to get out of it to make it be a success for me. That you valued that. You valued even though you may have never done it before, you really thought about those mechanics and those things that were super important to you.
And another thing that I did too was ask other authors who'd been published what was possible. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to other people, and I'm putting together a speaking, I keep getting asked to speak. Like, I've done a couple of TED Talks and they invited me. I didn't even know you could invite. You could apply. And then other people have hired me, have reached out for me to speak. And so now I'm like putting together a platform to like go, you know, have a little program instead of, again, flying by the seat of my pants, where it's come to me. And now it's like, oh, I can organize this and make it. But I talked to someone who, she's made a living doing this. And just to talk to someone who's gone before you so you don't make the same mistakes and you can know what to expect so you know what is possible. It is, you're standing on a platform already, if that makes any sense. I just had my last session with her yesterday. She's like a coach for that. And it was so, I realized just what a relief it was to understand what exactly I could expect and how to go about it and what she's accomplished. So it's important to, I think, also talk to other people about what you want to do who have gone before you.
Yeah, I encourage all entrepreneurs to ask. Don't be afraid to ask for help. We're not, you know, you don't come out knowing everything, and you can really save yourself a lot of time and a lot of trouble if you chat with, and again, that kind of goes back to being in an environment or getting involved in groups and things like that where they're like-minded people, and just being able to support each other and be able to share things that'll help each other to make that path a little bit easier. And I think women typically tend to do that less than men do. They mm-hmm. don't ask for the help.
Yeah. Men. Or even just said, like, I had a really good friend that had gotten a book deal and I knew what she'd gotten. So I knew that I could get it. Do you just see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you know people who already are a little bit ahead of you, just ask them, you know, can I get this? What should I expect when I go into a meeting? You know what I mean? What will the agent say to me?
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't find this exact information, sort of the nuances in a book. or people you don't know.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right, because
yeah.
not everybody's going to be willing to share. And it doesn't matter. I mean, what the tips that you're giving, it spans across the board. It doesn't matter whether it's you're writing a book or you're starting a business.
Exactly.
But being able to ask and saying, what can I expect? And what were some of the problems that you had whenever you did this? How do I negotiate that lease? How do I get this thing going online, kind of thing? I want to make sure that we get your business lesson before we end, but I want to know, and I've been recently reading a lot of things about failure, and I totally believe in failure, that you have to fail to go forward and everything, but what was your greatest failure, and what did you learn?
Well, I would say, only in business? Because I would say on a personal note, you know, my marriage was a failure, you know, but...
Well, I'm going to say,
a failure,
but you know what?
But
personal and business is kind of the same thing, really, mm-hmm. sometimes, because I think they're all related, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of times things happen. But if we can think maybe business. A little bit more about business, that would be good.
Yeah, I would say that my acting career didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, for sure, you know, and I'm the type of person that was like, well, if I'm not a series regular or making a certain amount of money at this point, some people I admire will just keep going because they must continue to do whatever it is that they like. They must act, or they must paint, or they must draw, or they must write, no matter what, you know. And I was just, so life led me into filmmaking and writing, but I would say that my acting career was a disappointment, for sure. Yeah, but it led me to do these other things. So
what you learned from that was that there were other things out there that could also bring you fulfillment and maybe tap into some of your gifts.
Oh yeah, definitely. And now I think one of the reasons I'm such a good interviewer is because I interview a lot of the people on camera, and I know what it's like to be on camera. So I somehow they forget, and if they don't know what it's like to be on camera, I can somehow make them forget that they're on camera, because I guess that because I know what it's like to be there. And now they want me hosting and stuff. So now, and I have no problem with it. And also speaking, I hated public speaking. I would have never done. I had bailed out of public speaking when I was in college. I was so scared. But I think my acting, along with my passion and love for Epiphany and the stories and the value I think that it can have for people, and how much it's changed my life, then I'm talking about is not about me. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So I've now can public speak, and I was never able to do that before. So, but I think that my acting training is all been. Is fed into what I'm doing now, and it will continue to lead. Now when I go on talk shows and stuff like that, like, do you know what I'm saying? So it's all been great. And who knows, I might go back to acting.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I would recommend everybody get Elise's book, Elise Ballard. The book is Epiphany. But before we close, tell me what your greatest business lesson is. What would you tell an entrepreneur? Starting out, and regardless of what they were starting out doing, that you've kind of learned along the way, and you say, wow.
Well, okay, I would say have a plan. The plan can change, you know, but I was a fly by the seat of my pants girl, and it's worked out somewhat. But I think that if I would have had a plan of some kind with goals and steps and budgets and set mastermind people, set mentors that were set, you know, or brought in a partner, you know, I really would think about those things, a plan, really research whatever it is you're going into to help develop that and really be as knowledgeable about it as you can. And then have those people that are going to be your little mastermind group, if it's one person, if it's three people, whatever it is, have that in place and really think about bringing on a partner that might share that vision. That would be my advice, so that you don't go it alone, so that it has the best shot it can get, and you have the most support and energy moving in. And like I said, plans are fluid and can change, but that's one thing I would do differently, and that I would definitely give that advice to any entrepreneur starting any venture.
I think that's great advice, and I also really appreciate that you added that the plan can be fluid, because sometimes people think, well, this is written in stone.
No.
And I can't change it. But no, of course you can, and it's just like going on a journey. You start out and you have a plan to go here, but sometimes there's a roadblock and you've got to go in this direction. And so that can really be the adventure may be even greater.
Yeah, well, life is like, as we all know, what's that saying? Like, the best laid plans.
Yes.
God says ha, you know. So you have to be able to move it. But at least if you know where you're going and you know you can change it, you know, and you've got those things in place, in my opinion, it's a much easier, exciting, more supportive way of doing it.
Yeah, kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off instead of just floating out there. Well, I so appreciate you joining us today.
I wish we
had another couple of hours we could just keep talking. But thank you so much, and I look forward. You all can get this interview on podcast, and it's available just going to skidrowstudios.com and watching it live as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jan. It was so much fun.